Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And I want to just throw this out at the beginning of this episode. We are about to talk about LSD, about acid, about psychedelic experiences, and just want to go ahead and at the front of the podcast, just a reminder to everybody, don't do drugs, kids. Use common sense, and don't take anything we're about to discuss as a mandate to go and try any of these powerful substances.
Exactly. This is just an exploration of some of the byproduct experiences that one has with LSD, or what has been reported. So again, it's just an exploration of the how and the why of LSD in flashbacks.
Yes. That being said, it's not the first time we've covered psychedelic experiences on the podcast. We've talked about Timothy Leary before. We've talked about John C. Lilly. And we did two episodes, The Scientist and the Shaman, about scientific research related to psychedelic substances.
Yeah, I mean, there is a resurgence, really, in hallucinogenic drugs right now, because there is a very good amount of information that tells us that they can be used in a medical setting for various things. And again, if you're interested in exploring that, check out The Scientist and the Shaman. I believe that information is in there. But today we're going to talk about really the idea of the LSD experience in flashbacks, and whether or not flashbacks really exist. And I'm talking about tabs, trips, white lightning, window panes, and I'm talking about school assemblies, because
what?
School assemblies, yeah.
You just, I don't know any of these terms.
No, I mean school assemblies in the sense that these institutions help to keep some key acid flashback urban legends alive throughout the generations until they could be properly adopted by the internet.
Oh, yes. I see. For a second there, I thought school assemblies was slang for LSD or something.
It should be.
Yeah. Because a lot of what we're talking about is in that gray area of recreational drug use, of counterculture drug use. And that alone is kind of a breeding ground for ghost stories about experiences. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a buddy and he knows this guy who once did such and such, and there's some sort of wild story. And then to your point, the school assemblies, and anti-drug messaging often pick up on these ghost stories or sort of fabricate their own scare stories about the horrors of drugs. And, you know, as is generally the case with this sort of thing, the truth is not quite on either side of that. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah, I think a classic example of this is the Orange Juice Man.
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about this guy who's smuggling, what, like 100 tabs of acid?
Yeah, and some guy, a friend of mine, knows the guy
right.
who did this.
Right, yeah. He was in Canada. He's about to cross the border.
Mm-hmm.
He had them strapped to his body, and they started questioning him. They put him in this room, and he got, like, super freaked out and started sweating, and then he started absorbing the tabs of acid, and then he thought he was an orange, and he started to peel himself.
Whoa.
For the rest of his life.
Yeah, there are variations on this too, where it'll be somebody who is, again, either has it strapped to his body or he's about to get busted, so he eats an entire sheet of acid. And for those of you who aren't familiar, like a sheet of acid, it's like little pieces of paper with little drops, little blots mm-hmm. of this substance on it. So, in this variation on the urban legend, he eats all this entire sheet of acid, just trips his mind out and suddenly believes that he is a glass of orange juice. And for the rest of his life, sits there, presumably in a padded cell somewhere, believing only that he is a glass of orange juice.
Now, when I heard this story mm-hmm. as a tender youth in Michigan, it was a girl, some girl who, you know, we didn't have the specific name, but someone in yes. our community uh-huh. who took all this acid and tried to peel herself as an orange.
And see, the peeling yourself, like that one has that kind of grisly level to it, which is kind of horrifying and scary. But I think I actually like the orange juice one better because that one is a little less grisly. It's like it's a little less on the surface frightening.
Yeah.
Like it's not one of those like PCP, peel your face off and feed it to a dog kind of stories, but it has a subtle horror to it that is still effective because it gets down to what a lot of the fears with acid are. A lot of the fears around psychedelics is that I will take something and it will change who I am. It'll change who I am, how I experience the world forever. It'll break my brain and therefore break my universe. Because what is
yeah.
the universe but my conscious experience of it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was about to say, and that plays into this whole idea that you could permanently break your brain, which is another urban myth that comes up from this idea that seven times a charm, right? Like if
yeah.
you take acid seven times after that, you are insane.
Yeah, which again, that's just there's nothing scientifically or legally to back that up. It's just something that people said. Another one, staring at the sun. A bunch of hippies did acid once, and they all looked up at the sun till their eyes burned out of their heads.
I love that one because this was a story that was picked up by California newspapers in 1967. So it appeared a couple times in print about four students who sustained permanent damage. Their corneas were just fried to a crisp after they couldn't look away from the sun because they were so incapacitated. And it was also backed up by a mysterious spokesman for the Santa Barbara Ophthalmological Society.
Now, there's another case we do have to mention, and this one's a much darker one because this one does involve an actual death, specifically the death of Diane Linkletter, the daughter of the famous Art Linkletter, who talk shows and specifically Kids Say the Darndest Thing. That was mm-hmm. one of his, the original Kids Say the Darndest Thing. That was kind of his big show. His daughter tragically died October 1969, 20 years old, jumped out of a window, fell to her death. And there has never been any direct evidence connecting LSD to her death. A person present during the event made no mention of LSD to the police. Toxicological tests performed on the body didn't show drugs in the system. But Art Linkletter became a very vocal opponent of LSD, very outspoken about it. And he claimed that LSD had caused her death and later that LSD flashbacks led to her suicide.
Yeah, and so this is this very gray area that we're going to enter into today about mm-hmm. LSD use and flashbacks because you don't know what her psychological state was before or after the use of LSD. And also this idea that flashbacks could have influenced her decision runs counter to some of the information we have on how LSD is metabolized by the body. And we'll get more into that in a second.
Yeah, and I don't want to vilify the late Art Linkletter at all because obviously a very tragic event happened in his life here. And I think it's just human nature to you want to know the reason for it. And if you can put the blame on something, like LSD, mm-hmm. you know, or the culture surrounding it. I mean, that's understandable.
Sure. And you have to think about all the media at that time, too.
Yeah.
You didn't just have this. You had Reefer Madness. You had all these different
You had the stories of people burning out their eyes and, you know, and the danger in general of hippie culture and hippie mm-hmm. counterculture.
Which, if you think about it, it must have been super terrifying for people at that time because it came out of this tame 50s, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's still wearing suits all the time. And all of a sudden, they turn around and people are growing their hair out long and listening to crazy music. I mean, it must have been terrifying to people who had lived their life in a certain way and had known nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, of course, on one level, it's always No Country for Old Men. You know, it's like the old are always going to be frightened, terrified, and threatened by the youth and the things that they're into.
Sure.
But yeah, particularly for that time, there was this tide of change and drastically different values that seemed to be coming at them.
Rapid. I mean, these are rapid changes.
Yeah. And then you have this, the LSD, which is, we're about to discuss. It's been around for a while, but it's really making its power known at the time. And you had all these scare stories that were out there, some misinformation, some correct information. I mean, at the very heart of it, kids were taking this and seeing things, experiencing an altered state of consciousness. And that alone, you could see where that would be threatening. Now, another bit of urban legend, misinformation about LSD that was making the rounds at the time and continues to make the rounds today is the idea that you take LSD and it's going to have its effects on your mind, but then it's going to, a little bit of that LSD is going to get stored away in your spine or in fatty tissue. And then later, maybe months, maybe years, this LSD, this stored LSD will reactivate and suddenly you're having this crazy flashback and you may not be at a music concert at this point in your life. Maybe you are, changing a diaper or driving a car and suddenly you're in mortal danger.
But that is not the case.
No.
And we're going to talk about why it's not. So let's take a closer look at LSD or lysergic acid diethyl imide.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, now, hallucinogens have been around for ages and ages and ages, dating back all the way through human history. But LSD is semi-synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have this until the 1930s, all right? So let's go look back to 1930s. Swiss chemist Albert Hofmann, he's studying the compound lysergic acid, which is derived from ergotamine, which is in turn derived from a parasitic fungus called ergot that grows on rye. Now, he first synthesized lysergic acid diethylamide, or LSD, back in 1938. And he was looking into it because he thought it might stimulate breathing and circulation. He thought it would have very, you know important but not crazy clinical potential. But the test didn't show anything special, so he just set it aside. And the company he was working for, Sandoz, they abandoned further study as
mm-hmm.
well. 5 years later, he's thinking about it again. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to look at that compound again and see if there's something there, because I feel like there's some potential." So he goes back and he's brewing up a new batch of LSD to look at some more, and he starts to begin to feel strange. All right, he described it as a remarkable restlessness combined with a slight dizziness, and while at home he was in a quote dreamlike state and perceived an uninterrupted stream of fantastic pictures, extraordinary shapes with intense kaleidoscopic play of colors. So, having a scientific mind, he decided, well, I'm going to look at this a little closer. I'm going to, for a closer look at at what's happening to
mm-hmm.
me. So he took 250 micrograms. That's 10 times more than the typical minimum dose of LSD today, and became delirious. Couldn't speak. And so initially he's panicking, and he's asking his laboratory assistant to call a doctor. The doctor can't find anything wrong with him other than the fact that his pupils are dilated. He had normal blood pressure, heart rate, respiration. But soon this panic goes away, and he starts feeling the sense of euphoria. And again, he's seeing beautiful shapes and colors. And so LSD was born. It made its rounds through clinical explorations, but then eventually bleeds out into recreational use in the decades to follow.
Yeah, we really see Timothy Leary picking this up, right? He's
mm-hmm.
taking it essentially at first in a medical setting and then taking it outside and saying, hey, let's blow open the doors of perception with this, and let's all try to get into an altered state and access different experiences of life. So real quickly, let's run down physical effects and physiological effects. We're talking about increased heart rate, increased blood pressure, dilated pupils, sweating, loss of appetite, sleeplessness, dry mouth, tremors, speech difficulties, and piloerection, that is, by the way, goosebumps.
Oh, okay.
Head out of the gutter there. Physiological effects, hallucinations, of course, increased color perception. which I think is interesting because Oliver Sacks has talked about this time that he was hallucinating.
Indigo.
Yes, this color indigo. I think he was at a classical music concert and he had used LSD and he was forever searching for that color. He never found it again.
Well, I remember him talking about he had a whole cocktail of things he took to try and just sort of gauge his experience just right to experience indigo.
Yeah. But it's this elusive color that he never found again in this reality that was not colored by hallucinogens. Altered mental state, thought disorders, temporary psychosis, delusions, body image changes, and impaired depth, time, and space perceptions. Users might feel several different emotions at once or swing rapidly from one emotion to another. Bad trips may consist of severe, terrifying thoughts and feelings, fear of losing control, and despair. Now,
a lot of this sounds like being a toddler. It's like I see these symptoms in my son all the time. What is he on?
In a way, he's getting hit with all this sensory data for the first time. Got to make sense of it. Maybe that is what it feels like, you know, to be a toddler or a baby taking in information. Now, the dose is metabolized by the body within a day and excreted in the urine. And by the way, LSD, the effects actually begin about 30 minutes after you take it. But the actual effects of the chemical will start to taper off as the hours pass.
And they didn't tend to be some long hours towards the end, I understand, where one may wish to go to sleep and then think they're sleeping, but you're not really sleeping because you can't sleep because of the LSD.
Right. And again, of course, it depends on how much you take. But because it is so quickly metabolized, there's no trace molecules to hang around in the body and eventually be stored in fat or in the spine.
Yeah,
we know for certain.
Yeah, it's all gone from the system in 24 hours, which of course gets into that interesting situation where you can't really test for things like LSD in a person's system. You really only can test for things like marijuana.
Yeah, so then that brings up this idea of flashbacks, which previously had been thought to, again, as you had said before, been stored in the body. And, like, that was the chemical switch that was being flipped when people have flashbacks. That is not the case. So you have to start to look more towards someone's memory of the event or what they perceived and begin to look at it in that light.
Yes. Now, I do want to add one more note here about hallucinations. I feel like Hollywood often skews our idea of what an acid trip is. Because if you're like me, someone you think movie, acid trip, you probably think of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Even though various substances are involved in Hunter S. Thompson's experience there. But you see, like, people turning into dinosaurs and floors melting and this idea that you're just kind of falling into another world. And generally speaking, the hallucinations experienced by individuals on LSD, they know that it's not real. There's not this idea that you're just slipping completely into a dream world. I mean, that's part of it because for most of us, the dream world is the only thing we can really think of to compare to it. So we think of a dream, we think of being lost in the experience of the dream, and we kind of lay that over the possibility for psychedelic experience.
I remember a friend of mine in school, she experienced LSD quite a bit and was interested in looking more into it. And so it was not uncommon for her to attend school tripping.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time her being perfectly normal, but saying, oh, you know, the walls are really moving today. By the way, she was an A student.
Yeah.
All through high school.
Well, because to your point, but also kind of to her point, most of the primary effects here are visual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be geometric patterns in the walls. It's going to be halos around things. You look at a light and then there's like the light streams this way. Or you look up at the night sky and everything that's black is suddenly red.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
So yeah, to your point, it's primarily visual. People aren't really out of their minds. They are in their minds. It's just an entirely mm-hmm. different experience in their mind.
Yeah, and you know, you'll adjust your perception of time. That certainly plays into it as well. But yeah, for the most part, we're talking about visual cues. And so when we start talking about flashbacks and the idea of an acid flashback, most of what we're talking about is going to be kind of visual in nature, but also at times a little emotional. If anyone out there has been watching the television show True Detective on HBO, there's a character on that who experiences flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
based on the information we've been reviewing here, it seems like those flashbacks, as they're presented in the show, match up pretty well with what is often reported. So it's not like demons bounding out of the walls or anything, but it's things like the light seeming to sort of smear around you, or a geometric pattern emerging, that sort of thing.
You're not just stuck in a spiral.
Yeah.
That's of psychedelic colors.
Or, yeah, and it's certainly not like the 1978 exploitation film Blue Sunshine, where individuals who took acid a decade earlier are suddenly turn into bald, raving psychotics and start like running all over the place. Which, again, that was a movie that very much was exploiting all of these scare stories from the previous decade. So let's start talking about some of the numbers here when we're actually talking about acid flashbacks. Because, again, we get into that area of urban folklore, into that area of ghost story. Everyone is going to have some sort of story about people experiencing flashbacks. Mm-hmm. But how many people really self-report having them? How many people actually have something that we can clinically call a flashback event? So studies carried out in 1972 claimed that 1 in 4 psychedelic users experienced flashbacks, with 57% experiencing pleasant flashbacks and only 11% experiencing very frightening flashbacks. Meanwhile, modern psychiatrist Henry David Abraham claims that while only 5% of LSD users are actually experiencing hallucinogenic episodes, as many as 60% of frequent users may report some sort of flashback. So we have to end up separating two different things here. One is the feeling that you had a flashback, or
right,
a self-report of a flashback that may or may not have anything to do with your actual neural architecture. Again, a psychedelic experience is going to be very subjective. Memory is very subjective. So you're going to have somebody who claims, well, like an hour after I tripped, I saw something kind of weird, or I felt something kind of weird, or a day after I tripped. And indeed, most of the flashbacks that are reported are falling in that window of time, like the first couple of days following the use of the substance, not 10 years down the line.
Yeah, and psychiatrist John Halpern said that most studies don't make clear if other drugs were involved or if participants had other psychiatric conditions at the time. So we may have some data on it, but it's not clear, you know, if some of this stuff was moving the needle a couple of degrees. And there's also the question about if it really is a flashback or just a provocative memory, because memory is fallible, as we know. And, you know, you can get an intense sensation sometimes. Do you call that a flashback? You know, part of it is our inability to really define what a flashback is.
Yeah, because if we experience suddenly we're sitting at our desk and we remember like a painfully embarrassing moment from our past, and we're kind of like, ugh, and you know, we actually feel the embarrassment mm-hmm. in our bodies. In a sense, that's kind of a flashback. But there's nothing magical about that. There's nothing psychedelic about that. But what if you're suddenly remembering the time that the night sky became dark red? You know, suddenly you're adding in that level of the psychedelic. You're adding in that script, and you have a reason for it. You're like, oh, maybe that was an acid flashback. Maybe that's what that was. And also, again, memory is fallible. Every time you take that memory out, you're changing it. So over time, you're making that even more of a concrete flashback memory, as far as your own, experience goes. And, it's also worth noting that you don't need a psychedelic substance to have a flashback. Traumatic or intensely emotional memories have a tendency to stick with us in ways that normal memories do not. And certainly one can experience an intense traumatic flashback. You know, this is part and partial to PTSD. So these aren't due to foreign substances in our brain, but rather the effects of experience on our mental state. Okay. Now, you already mentioned how there are other factors that can play, mm-hmm. you know, that are often not recorded. What else was the individual using? What was their existing mental state? Are they predisposed to any kind of psychotic episodes or what have you that the LSD might have triggered? And also, we mentioned how long LSD tends to make people stay awake. That's another thing. If you've taken LSD and you have stayed awake all night, you find yourself perhaps a little sleep deprived, and that's mm-hmm. another thing that can affect your experience of the real world.
Well, there's also the aspect of suggestibility, right? Because we've talked about the placebo effect. So if you are thinking that you're going to have these flashbacks, mm-hmm. it's very possible that you may take out some of these memories and examine them in that context.
Yeah, and if you find yourself paranoid about, oh, did I just break my brain? That was really cool looking, but what kind of harm have I done to mm-hmm. myself? And then you start looking for these. And altered perception. I mean, that's what the whole experience is about. So you've just previously experienced things in the world differently than normal. Maybe you've noticed details in your surroundings that were not obvious beforehand. And you notice those again when you're not tripping. That can lead to an interpretation, a self-interpretation of a flashback.
Especially if you're slowing down that mental process.
Yeah.
Right? If you're thinking about it in that context and you're really looking at the world around you.
Yeah, like think of some of these optical illusions we've discussed before where you just look at it, you don't see it. But once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And so arguably some flashback experiences are like that. You know, you've seen the pattern, the face pattern in the wall, and then it's kind of impossible to not see it. But that is not necessarily a flashback. It's just a callback to an altered perception.
Well, and to confuse matters, sometimes people have psychological breakthroughs, personal breakthroughs in mm-hmm. their own narrative in the world, right? And they see things in a different way. They may have more of a truth, I'm putting that in quotes, that they are hooked into now. So if that perception of the world, as well as your sensory perception, is all sort of intertwined, then it makes it kind of hard to unravel that and see things for what they are. And that being said, though, there is something called the hallucinogen persisting perception disorder, and we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we will explore what that is.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about something called hallucinogen persisting perception disorder, HPPD. This is a sudden change in perception that occurs in some LSD users months or years after the discontinued use. It is linked to, of course, persistent LSD use, and it has nothing to do with the buildup of the molecules of LSD in the body. I know we've said that before, but it bears mentioning again.
And we don't understand exactly what is going on with it. In the same way that we don't have the clearest idea of how LSD actually works in the mind. But people have been studying it, and it is, I mean, you could arguably say that this is the true LSD flashback. Like, we have all of these ghost stories and urban legends, but this is where it actually comes together.
Yeah, and psychiatrist John Halpern had reviewed a bunch of scientific literature on the matter, and he found that most studies provided too little information to estimate the actual prevalence of HPPD in the population. Now, Henry David Abraham says, maybe one person in 20 will develop serious continuous problems related to the hallucinogenic experience, but he says that's pretty much true of any drug you use.
Yeah.
So, again, it's hard to figure out where flashbacks begin and HPPD picks up and what exactly defines HPPD.
Yeah, but to sort of give a sort of basic idea, one woman he was treating took 30 tabs of LSD over the course of a year at age 18. And then went on to have flashback experiences for 13 years. But then again, you know, you look at other famous drug users like Timothy Leary, when he was asked about the whole seven times makes you crazy thing, I read that he said, well, I've taken it 311 times, and, you know, obviously I'm not crazy.
Right.
Of course, is kind of a subjective statement, too. I'm sure there were people at the time and today that would say, well, maybe Timothy Leary was a little crazy. But there you go.
And some of these experiences we're talking about, like trails following moving objects, a television-like static applied to the field of vision and color changes. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about HPPD. And there are a couple of different schools of thought here. When it comes to HPPD, some people think that it's a kind of post-traumatic stress that the mind is undergoing. So again, it's taking out that memory and perhaps reacting to it. While others think that the extensive use of LSD may have actually changed the brain's morphology.
Yeah, like, for instance, if you're going to look in the post-traumatic angle on this, the fear angle, you could imagine, say, someone has maybe an aversion to cockroaches anyway, and then they see a bunch of cockroaches while they're on LSD. Like, that could be the kind of traumatic experience and ultimately a psychedelic experience that one might have flashbacks to.
Yeah, and Abraham says that at the core, you know, even though we're not entirely sure what HPPD is or how it's really acting on the brain, he said that at the core, it's an imbalance within the inhibitory circuits of the visual processing system. So again, that preoccupation with the cockroach is very much a symbolic representation of the visual system, right?
Right. Now, the inhibitory circuits of the visual processing system, what does that mean, right? we talked about the curious way that we see things before, and how it's not just simply a matter of my eyeballs are cameras, and they and the camera footage goes into my brain, where there's like a little me that watches it on a screen. No. The version of reality that we see is just a version of reality as picked up by these limited sight organs and passed on to this limited brain.
Yeah, because you think about it, there's so much data to take in that you kind of have walls up.
Yeah.
Right? That's that inhibitory circuit is saying, okay, we don't need to let everything through here, just what's important. So the idea is that HPPD, you might have some of those walls coming down. In
right.
other words, you're taking in a lot of data in your brain, as we know, gets a little overwhelmed sometimes when it has too much data. And when it doesn't have enough data, it also tends to hallucinate.
Right. We have to see things to understand the world, but we have to unsee things as well. Like right now I'm looking at you. And I have a clear vision of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Noel, our producer, is in the corner of my vision. I do not have a clear vision of his face. This changes if I look to Noel, and then changes back if I look to you. In the same way, if I look at this light, I see the light. If I look over here, I don't see it as clearly. But if the inhibitory circuits are off, then I may look at this light and then look over here, and the light from the light comes with me to the next thing I look at, and suddenly Noel's face is glowing like an angel of the heavens.
Yeah, there's a visual constancy that we're trying to establish. And there's lots of things that can get in the way of that. We've talked about Charles Bonnet syndrome. We've talked about lesions on the brain in which the circuits get a bit crossed and the brain starts to hallucinate things. We've talked about not even having enough auditory stimulation. We talked about this in the episode, The Quietest Room in the World, mm-hmm. in which your brain will begin to hallucinate sounds if it doesn't have what it needs. So there really is a balance that can be tipped pretty easily.
Yeah. One of the best analogies I ran across for this, and this was in the New Yorker article, A Trip That Lasts Forever, which was about HPPD. They talked about the muddled paintbrush theory. And this is the idea that if the brain is like a paintbrush, then HPPD appears to make the bristle sticky. And this makes old stimuli, colors, shapes, and motions, muddy the new. So again, your brain is seeing things, but it hasn't stopped unseeing the thing it just saw.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is this version of it. This view of HPPD seems to be what they set out to portray when you have this character, this Matthew McConaughey character, Detective Rust Cole, seeing, light sort of bleed through his vision at times.
Now, it is treatable, but, there's not a lot of stuff out there for it. There's a paper called Clonazepam, Treatment of Lysergic Acid, Diethylamide, Induced Hallucinogen Persisting Perception Disorder with Anxiety Features. And that found that 18 patients suffering from LSD-induced HPPD did find relief using clonazepam over a six-month period in which that drug was administered. So therapy also seems to help, but I will tell you one thing that does not, and that is cannabis, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. So there are certain things that people should not take.
All right. So there you have it. Acid flashbacks, LSD, little information about how this works, how we think it works, and some of the various explanations for psychedelic experience and these supposed psychedelic flashbacks. If the past is any indication, I'm sure some people will say, oh, you shouldn't have talked about any of this. This is going to make people want to do drugs. Likewise, some people are going to say, oh, you're scaring people away from trying new experiences. But I would hope that, yeah, this is kind of a scare story, because it these are powerful substances. We've talked about this before. Whether you're talking about acid or psilocybin in a magic mushroom, these are powerful substances that have an intense effect on perceptions of reality. And no matter where you're coming from, they definitely should not be considered lightly. So you can take the acid flashback thing as a cautionary tale, if you like, because people do experience this, and it's not always pleasant.
I also think it's interesting as another viewpoint into the brain and memory, mm-hmm. and how we consume information and interpret it later on. And I would love to see some studies, if it's possible, that you could take experiences of flashbacks or HPPD and then line them up with other hallucinations people have had, whether or not it's Charles Bonnet syndrome or some other circumstance which created hallucination in the brain, to see if there's some sort of thread through all of these.
Yeah. And And again, hallucinations occur for a variety of reasons, most of which have nothing to do with illicit substances. And again, our perception of reality itself is a form of hallucination.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, too, I mean, even something like Stendhal syndrome, when you look at a beautiful piece of art and you're overwhelmed, and sometimes people see things or they're seeing colors in different ways, that is a kind of hallucination.
In fact, one of the studies I was looking at here made a direct comparison between supposed acid flashbacks, of the lighter kind, not full-blown HPPD experiences, but the sort of lighter shade of acid flashback, as directly relatable to Stendhal syndrome or Jerusalem syndrome, where you're suddenly just overwhelmed by a piece of art or an historic landmark, and you feel this intense bodily experience.
And I think, I would wager to bet that pretty much everybody has had some sort of Stendhal or Jerusalem syndrome experience, but some sort of overwhelming feeling at one point in their life in which they were completely stone cold sober and they had an altered state.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear from you guys about that. It was the one thing. Was it a piece of art? Was it just a piece of music that puts you into that kind of state?
Indeed. All right, so you want to let us know about this? You want to get in touch with us? Well, there are a number of ways to do it. You will not find us on the astral plane, but you will find us at stufftoblowyourmind.com. You will find all the podcasts there. You will find the videos there, the blog entries, pictures of what we look like. If you don't know what we look like, there are photos there, because we still get people who are like, hey, I didn't know what you looked like.
And if you don't, you have a very specific idea of what we look like, don't go and look at those photos.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it.
Apparently it's very jarring to people.
It is, and I don't want to, spoil your imagined idea, because I mentioned before, I hate it when I'm reading a book, and it's like halfway through that the author mentions that the character has a mustache. I'm like, no, they didn't have a mustache earlier in the book. If that character has a mustache, you need to mention that page one. Because otherwise, I'm going to just have to reject your idea that they have a mustache.
Are you keeping that mustache, by the way?
For now.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
It's a nice handlebar.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Find us on Facebook. Find us on Tumblr. Find us on Twitter. Find us on YouTube at Mind Stuff Show. Follow us there to support us. And, Julie, how can they reach out to us with a nice, comforting, personal bit of email on the information superhighway?
Well, they can drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.